And we're back with more of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. On Mondays during the legislative session at our state capitol, we like to discuss what issues and bills our lawmakers are dealing with. I'm here along with Iowa Public Radio State House correspondent Joyce Russell. In the first half hour, we talked about proposed changes to Iowa's fireworks laws. Now let's talk about a proposed change to Iowa's voter registration law to include voters in the primary who would be 18 years old by Election Day. Joining us to talk about that, Senator Mike Gronstahl, a Democrat and also Senate Majority Leader. Senator Gronstahl, great to have you back on the program.
Good to be here.
Explain what the present law is and what you want to change through this bill.
Well, present law allows you, if you're going to be 18 on Election Day, to register for the general election in November, to register before that, even though you're not 18 yet. I had a student, Madison Haas, from the Harlan High School. She's a junior there, and she, in fact, is 10 days after the primary, I believe, going to be 18. But she doesn't have any, so she can register at 17 and a half, and she can vote in the November election, but she has no say in the primary as to who the nominee will be. She emailed me, and I think her local legislators didn't express much interest in the issue, and I thought about it. The Iowa Democratic Party allows people to participate in the caucuses if they're going to be 18 on the November election date. So that's what this bill does, says if you're going to be 18 by election day, you can participate in the primary.
Hmm. Why do you suppose this hasn't been considered up to now or as a change?
I don't know. A number of states around us, and again, this is not some idea that some 66-year-old guy made up. This is something he heard from somebody nearby Council Bluffs, from Harlan area, and I thought, well, heck, if she gets to vote in November, she should have some voice in who her nominee is going to be for whatever party of her choice.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Senator? You probably maybe didn't have anything to do with the law to let people register when they're 17. But what do you suppose was the point of that, to be able to register when you couldn't vote anyway?
Well, I think probably it was the timing. Many, many years ago, you had to register, I think, 10 days before the general election, but you'd be an eligible elector, so why not let them register early? I'm sure that's what motivated the original law, and I suspect nobody even really thought much about the primary at that time, but this student contacted me. Also, her teacher, John Murtaugh, from the Harlan High School, teaches government there, and he also contacted me about this subject. So this is an idea that came from citizens, and we get a fair number of those kinds of ideas that citizens mm-hmm. give to us.
I wonder.
I thought it was a good idea and said, heck, let's do it.
Is it also a good idea, especially in your view, as a Democrat, because when we look at the latest polls, the latest Gallup poll I'm looking at, the people between the ages of 18 and 29 are much more likely to align themselves with the Democratic Party. 54% of young adults call themselves Democrats compared to 36% of GOP young adults. That makes it easier to support as a Democrat, too, doesn't it?
I don't think that's the motivation. Whether that's how it works out, I've generally always believed the more people that vote. You know, when I go to door to door, I register people to vote, and I don't care if they're Democrats or Republicans when they register. I give them that answer. I'll register a Republican as easily as I'll register a Democrat.
So if that poll result was the exact opposite, you'd still be supporting this?
I still think it's good to have people participate in the political process. If it's a small group of people that make the decisions ultimately about who their elected representatives are, it's much harder to develop consensus. So I was kind of the perfect quintessential purple state. It's not very Republican. It's not very Democratic. It is just purple.
We're going to hear from Senator Whitfer. And I'm sure that he may have a different, I shouldn't say I'm sure, he may have a different perspective on this, but as I'm hearing you talk about it, I'm thinking, I can see how it's kind of hard to tell a young person no, No, I want to be involved in the process. No, yep. No, you can't do that.
Yep, and like I say, this is a citizen contacted me about this, not a legal age citizen, but still a citizen contacted me about this issue and said, gee, shouldn't I be able to vote in the primary? Mm-hmm. 10 days away, and I don't get a vote in the primary, so I may be stuck with a candidate that isn't who I think would be the best. As a matter of fact, I think this particular young lady is a Republican. But who knows, because she isn't registered yet. So.
Now, I understand this particular bill cleared a Senate subcommittee recently. How much resistance or acceptance do you expect for this bill in the full Senate, in the House, by the governor?
Well, I can't imagine that people are going to say that somebody that's eligible to vote in November is not going to be allowed to vote in the primary. So like I say, this probably should have been thought of when they passed the original law allowing 17-and-a-half-year-olds to register to vote. But since it wasn't, let's fix it.
Okay, thank you very much, Senator Mike Ronstall, our Senate Majority Leader. Thanks for the conversation.
Sure. Happy to be here.
In this portion of our Monday legislative River to River, we're talking about Senate File 2001, allowing Iowans who will have reached the legal age of 18 by November in a general election year to be able to vote in the June primary election while they're still 17. Joyce Russell with me, Iowa Public Radio State House correspondent. Now we're joined by Senator Jack Whitver, a Republican from Ankeny. We are all wondering now, of course, how you stand on this bill as described by Senator Gronstall. Do you stand behind it, or do you have some concerns that will prevent you from voting for it?
No, Senator Gronstall and I don't always agree on issues down at the Capitol, but this seemed like a common sense bill. And, you know, you'd think if it was such common sense, it would have been done years ago. But
exactly.
I think it's something that, you know, just hasn't been brought up. We're always focused on a ton of different issues down here. I think this is a fine idea. We just got through a presidential caucus here in Iowa, and I chaired one of the campaigns, so I was on the road a lot. Seeing the events and talking to voters, and the number of young voters that are interested in the process was really shocking to me. There were a lot mm-hmm. of high school kids that can't even vote that would go to these events, a lot of high school kids that could vote, and then a lot of college kids. And so I think anytime you can get young voters into the process and engaged, I think it's a good thing, and I will be supporting this bill.
Mm-hmm. Any consideration given to the fact that young adults tend to be more Democrats than Republicans these days?
No, a couple things. One, it's our job as Republicans to convince them otherwise. But more so, this is just all this bill does is it relates to the primary. And so it's going to bring Republican young voters into the Republican primary and Democrats into the Democrat primary. So
right.
I don't see any concerns of voter fraud or stacking the ballot one way or the other. It's just going to bring those from each party to their respective primaries.
Mm-hmm. And don't you think that your fellow Republicans might look at those voting numbers and have some concerns? You say you're not concerned, but some of your fellow Republicans may look and say, okay, young people vote Democrat disproportionately.
Yeah, but in the primary, it doesn't matter. Once you get to the general election, they're going to be 18 anyway, and if they want to vote, they can vote. And so this doesn't do anything to affect a race between a Republican and a Democrat. It's just Democrats versus Democrats and Republicans versus Republicans. And so I haven't heard any concerns from my colleagues. There may be some, but I'm personally comfortable with it.
Senator Whitber, you then expect your colleagues in the Senate, your Republican colleagues also in the House will see it as you do, and this will be clear sailing for this revision of the
I certainly don't want to talk for everyone in my caucus, let alone the entire Capitol, because things happen with bills. But
well, right, you have a sense of it. You talk with colleagues,
yeah,
right?
I mean,
what is the sense?
Being on the subcommittee, I am the one that kind of leads our caucus on this issue and tries to inform the other members of our Republican caucus what the bill does and the advantages and disadvantages of it. I will certainly speak well of the bill and try to promote the bill.
Mm-hmm. Senator Whitford, we heard Senator Gronstall talk about a specific constituent, or he's not a voter yet, so you
yeah.
still call him constituent,
yeah.
citizen.
I do, yeah.
a specific young person with this request. Have you heard from young constituents on this?
I have not heard on this particular issue, but I think it's a good testimony to how the legislative process works. You know, everyone thinks that we just sit around at night thinking up bills, but that's not the case. It often comes from constituents, and if it's a high school student that had this idea, I think, you know, that's great. That shows the legislative process is working, or at least to this point. It still has to obviously pass and get signed by the governor, but that's the way the legislative process works, and I think that's a good thing.
Senator Whitfer and Joyce, we have a caller who would like to chime in on this topic. Suzanne is with us from Grinnell. Running out of time a little bit here, Suzanne, but tell us, how do you see this?
Oh, I would love to see 17-year-olds be able to vote, period, in the general elections, because I think you could actually practice civic engagement through civics classes in high school, and you could train them on how to be a responsible voter, and that you could have registration right there, and everybody would get registered, and you could really make it quite a good thing.
Okay, there's an interesting perspective. I don't know how much support that would have, not being considered legally an adult, but still voting. Any view from you, Senator Whitfer?
Yeah, I would say let's take a baby step on this bill before we go any further. And I'm comfortable with 18 being the voting age.
Okay, very good. Nevertheless, thank you, Suzanne in Grinnell, for that input. And unless you had anything else, Joyce, I think we can say goodbye to Senator Whitfer. Thank you for coming.
Thank you very much.
Senator Jack Whitfer is a Republican from Ankeny. He's also the Republican whip in the Senate, which I didn't mention in the outset. And this is our Legislative Monday. Joyce Russell with me as we pick over some of the things that the lawmakers are working with, the issues that they're dealing with. We're with Chris Larimer now. He joins us by phone, professor of political science at the University of Northern Iowa in Cedar Falls. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Ben.
So tell us, we had a pretty good appraisal from the Republican there, introduced by the Democrat. What's the likelihood of something like this passing?
Well, from the responses from the two senators, it sounds like it is likely to get passed. I think there's still a question about whether or not this would overwhelmingly benefit the Democratic Party, and certainly Senator Whitfer is correct, right? This is just for a primary, so the between party effects would be washed out. But I think at a broader level, you know, it certainly adds some consistency to the process, right? If these are folks who could participate in the caucuses, why do they have to sit out the primary but then can participate in the general election? So I think allowing for primary voting makes sense. But more generally, what we know from research is that voting is a behavior that's habitual. If you do it once, you're more likely to do it again. And so if you can get young people involved, the earlier you can do that, the more likely you are to get them to vote in subsequent elections. So if perhaps they participate in a primary election, then they maybe are more likely to participate in a general election.
Let's listen to Mark in Des Moines. Mark called 1-866-780-9100. Mark, you've been listening to this conversation. What concern or comment do you have?
Yes. Well, I agree with the last person who spoke, and I just think plus, currently, I'm so burned out on politics and phone calls and
I hear you there, Mark.
Yeah, and I think it's true. You know, you reach out to someone, get their email, get their address, get, you know, everything, and it's just part of the whole way that everyone does business. And it's like you don't even want to enter a free contest because you know the reason they're offering contests is all they want is your vital statistics. And so I'm a cynic, unfortunately.
Okay. Good, Mark. Thank you. Thank you very much for your skepticism there. We know better than other folks in the country here in Iowa how our information is used for political. But nevertheless, right, Joyce, we want to have civically engaged young people grow up to be older people who remain civically engaged, right?
Yeah, and I'm kind of questioning Senator Whitfer's view that he seemed to be downplaying the fact that young voters do vote more Democrat than Republican. And he made a very good point, and we're only talking about primary elections here. And yet, it seems to me that it'll be interesting to see what other Republicans have to say about this bill, because it seems to me you are getting a young person more involved. And if a young person is more likely to vote Democratic, then I can see Republicans making that argument, even though it is just expanding it to a primary election.
Hey, Chris Larimer, do you think this is part of it that just is not being addressed? A little elephant in the room, if anything, but the Republicans have decided, or this Republican that we spoke with has decided, you really just can't be against something that expands voting in this way.
Well, I think there's still a question about the extent to which, if we want to group them as millennials or young people, the direction with which they lean. I think you can probably generally say they lean Democratic, but I pulled some numbers from the Iowa Secretary of State's website for the November 2014 election. And if you just look at the age group they have for 18 to 24-year-olds, 23% of them identify as Democrat, 23% Republican, over 52% identify as no party. And that's a trend that we've seen in several surveys where younger people are less likely to identify with one of the two major parties, whereas older populations more likely to identify with one of the two major parties. And those younger voters are typically less confident in the political system, and a number of Pew polls have showed this, but those younger voters are also, I think, looking for a little bit of optimism, right? Older voters, we've seen this cycle, have tended to say that experience is more important when it comes to voting for a candidate for president, whereas younger voters are less likely to say something like that. And so you see younger voters gravitating to someone like a Bernie Sanders, but they're also gravitating to someone like a Marco Rubio. So I don't know that it's entirely clear that this would overwhelmingly benefit the Democratic Party down the road. I'm not sure we have the answers on that just yet.
Do we know, Chris, or perhaps Joyce knows this, but Chris, I'll ask you first here. Do we know how we would match up with other states? Would we be an anomaly when compared with other states in allowing 17-year-olds to vote in primaries in some cases?
I don't know that actually some of that data was hard to find. I was looking through the National Conference of State Legislatures. But we are one of a handful of states. There are 11 states that allow for pre-registration for younger voters who are even younger than 17 and a half years, as we are in Iowa. Iowa is one of four states that allows it at 17 and a half. So I don't know that we're probably not an anomaly. As Senator Gronstall said, a number of other states do it. I don't know the exact number, but I think we fit with several states that are allowing for at least a little bit more early involvement in the political process.
Mm-hmm. Well, if we're finished up on that issue, we have a little bit of time left. I'd like to, Joyce and Chris, talk about something else. This is Senate Joint Resolution 2002 for a constitutional amendment that would make it so that a petition with a certain amount of signatures would be seen by Iowa's legislature and voted up or down. Joyce?
This is a proposed constitutional amendment to allow that to happen. The state's electors could come forward with a proposition. They would then take that to a vote of the people, and if it passed the vote of the people, then the legislature would be required to act on it. This is from Senator Mark Shelgren. Shelgren is a Tea Party Republican, likes to think outside the box, likes to challenge the status quo. So that's what's going on with that.
Mm-hmm. This reminds me, perhaps not. Chris, is this something like we hear often from California and state legislature?
A little bit. You know, it's part of that direct democracy framework, but it's a little bit different because in several other states they do have direct democracy where you can have an initiative where if citizens get so many signatures, get some through petition, they can get it on the ballot to be voted up or down for law, or an indirect initiative where it would actually go through the legislature. But it would first go to the legislature and then go to the voters. In this case, you know, they're getting a certain number of signatures, 100,000 signatures, and then it's going to the legislature to vote up or down. So it's not quite full direct democracy, but it's certainly a step in that direction. But I still think as a constitutional amendment, we have to remember how hard it is to get constitutional amendments done in Iowa, right? The one way is just once every 10 years to vote on a constitutional convention for every 10 years that end in zero, or they can have it approved by the House, and the Iowa House and the Iowa Senate by a majority in both houses. Then there has to be an intervening election. Then it would again have to be approved by the Iowa House and the Iowa Senate, and then it would go to a vote to the people. So that's a very drawn-out process. So either way, that's an incredibly long process to amend the Constitution. So I think you have to start there with any discussion.
Mm-hmm. Do we have a sense, either of you have a sense of how this is playing in the legislature at this point, if it's a partisan issue at all? Well, you mentioned the Tea Party bringing it up, but if it's likely to be something that will have a great deal of support?
I haven't heard any interest in it. This is a resolution offered by a Republican legislator in the Democratic-controlled Senate. So I think it would be a heavy lift.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if any causes or changes in our laws have been attached to this, if the person introducing this would already has a petition in mind that he would like to see signatures on and then go through the process like this.
Well, he's been serving in the minority for quite a while, so he probably has a number of things that he would like to force the legislature to take up.
Mm-hmm. Chris, do you see this just sort of bogging down the legislature? I mean, we have a lot of bills, legislation that the legislature often has trouble getting through in any given year.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, given the nature with which the process is laid out for amending the Iowa Constitution, I'd be surprised if this would continue to go through. I mean, I think in general, these are attempts to sort of expedite the lawmaking process by allowing for another way to get something done. But given the way the amendment process works in Iowa, I'd be surprised if this becomes kind of a focal point.
Okay, thank you very much. We've run out of time for this hour. Chris Lehrman, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Northern Iowa. Chris, thanks for joining Joyce and I.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Joyce, I guess we'll talk next week. Another Legislative Monday. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
And River to River is produced by Emily Woodbury, Claire Roth, and Lindsay Moon. And we had technical support from John Pemble. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. Tomorrow, I have a special program, not a River to River, a special program looking at the water situation in Flint, Michigan, that's been in the news, of a full hour dedicated to that. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.